You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. What does it mean for you to live well? Or maybe even more importantly, what does it mean to age well? We're exploring all sides of these questions in this issue. Our cover story focuses on an effort that seeks to provide human connection, a listening ear, and a simple way to support our fellow humans. It's called the Community Living Room. We learn how this unique idea is now popping up all over our area, and we ask the founders all about it. Amanda Nimmer talks about how hard it can be to make friends as an adult. It's also important to find others you can enjoy activities with as you get older. Pickleball seems to be one of those fun sports for players of all ages. Conrad Krieger talks with a pickleball enthusiast about its popularity. We'll also check in with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. She shares information on becoming a wildfire firefighter and the La Nina season in the not-too-distant future. Pete Schwabba has his classic cinema pick of the week, which I agree is one of the funniest movies ever made and has a huge Wisconsin connection. And later in the show, hailing from Wisconsin, an indie pop band called Horace Green. There are musical guests this week, and you won't want to miss the fun they bring to the studio. First, we begin this edition with the idea of living your life to the fullest at any age. And while it sounds fun, it also seems like an exhausting tall order, doesn't it? Well, health officials report 35% of the state's population is more than 50 years old. It also notes physical and mental health, along with social well-being, makes the difference in how people here show their age. So our Terry Barr took to the challenge, and after talking with multiple aging experts, she slid into a booth at a local coffee shop and shares what she observed from all sides of this discussion. Here's Terry Barr.
One of the greatest challenges of aging, I'm told, is being able to maintain your support network. Staying connected isn't easy, no matter your age, and even if you've always had an active social life. Does this sound familiar? Career changes, illness, and moving away from familiar places can take friends and family out of your everyday life. And as the years go by, you'll lose those closest to you. Later in life, simply getting around can become harder, whether it's you or the people you'd like to spend time with on a regular basis. But here's the thing. Experts say staying social is just as important to your health as regular exercise. Research shows having people you can count on for company and support acts as a buffer against loneliness, depression, disability, hardship, and loss. The good news is there are so many ways to stay connected, especially now.
Hey, how are you?
So let's start by reaching out to friends and family. Make it a habit. Spend time with the people who lift you up. It might be a neighbor you can take a walk with, a lunch date to catch up with an old friend, a movie with the kids in your life, or playing with your youngest loved ones. And even if they're not nearby, experts I've talked with say call or video chat often to keep those important relationships alive. It's also important to make some new friends. As we lose people in our circle, it's vital to build new connections. And don't be afraid to look across generations. Being a friend to people of all ages can re-energize you and offer a fresh perspective on life. Volunteering is another powerful way to strengthen social bonds. Giving back not only helps the community, it introduces you to people who share your values and interests. And if mobility is a challenge, there are still plenty of opportunities to volunteer by phone or online. The message is pretty simple. Just as you care for your body, it's vital to care for your social health. Staying connected can add not just years to your life, but life to your years. I'm Terry Ball.
It's a sport just about anyone can participate in, and it's called pickleball. Conrad Krieger talks with one pickleball enthusiast.
The pickleball wave is taking over northeastern Wisconsin, and a lot of people are taking up the sport to stay active all year round. I talk with WBAY Morning Host and pickleball enthusiast Emerson Lehman on the basics and the community of pickleball. Do people realize how active pickleball actually is?
I think some people, they still, there's the thought that it's just this game for your grandparents, you know, 65, 70-year-old people running around, but it is a super fast-paced, high-energy game now. If you watch higher-level pickleball, I mean, the hand-eye coordination, the agility that it takes to be competitive is just continuing to grow and grow and grow, and the talent levels continuing to grow and grow and grow, and the age of players is continuing to go down and down and down.
So you see pickleball like all over social media. You got influencers talking about it. It's on TV. I mean, you talk about it. So, I mean, why do you think the sport has been popularized in like the last like 5 years?
It's just so cool that anybody can play it. When I'm home for the weekend during the summertime and my parents and my aunt and uncle are hanging out and they say, let's go up to the park and play pickleball. And I go up there with them and I'm partnered up with my mom and we're just hitting the ball around, having fun, laughing. It brings so many people from so many different backgrounds, so many different abilities, and it brings everybody together. It itches that competitive edge, but it also is a sense of community of, you know, a big family. And it's just so much fun. And I think people, especially following COVID, people were really kind of yearning for something like that. They really wanted that sense of community and friendship and competitiveness, and pickleball scratches all of that and then some.
Northeastern Wisconsin, they definitely have the community for pickleball.
Oh, 100%. I think it's one of the bigger communities in the state. When you look at the pickleball scene, I mean, Madison has a great scene. Northeast Wisconsin, I would put it right up there. There's a lot of high-end players. There's a ton of beginner, intermediate players. Like, there's a group for everybody here. And there's so many different facilities where year-round you can play. You've got Pickle and Bags in Oshkosh. You've got Next Level Pickleball in Little Chute and in Green Bay. They have two locations. Pickleball Kingdom in Appleton. You've got the Pickler that just opened in Ashwaubenon. You have so many dedicated facilities to it. And then you have all of these parks and all these different communities that have courts as well. And there's groups that are playing every day at these parks. I mean, you can find it all over Northeast Wisconsin. It's a great place to be if you want to play pickleball.
How would you recommend someone who doesn't know anything about pickleball, doesn't know the rules, doesn't even know that there's a paddle involved, and they just want to be active? How would you recommend they start?
If you're really interested in it, there's a lot of these facilities. They offer pickleball 101 class where you can go. They have paddles there that you can use and you just experience it. It's probably an hour long. I tell people usually it takes about a half hour to an hour to understand the scoring. And once you do that, it's good. Like, you kind of walk into it and it's like, what is this? Because there's some weird rules that kind of go along with it to the outside eye. Again, there's so many of these places that have amazing coaches. Just go try it out. They're fairly inexpensive. Give it a shot. You do that instead of eating out one night. You know, you do that. You go be active. If you don't like it, cool. You tried it, right? It was a fun thing to try. If you do like it, all right. Well, maybe you're interested in getting a paddle. Maybe you're in love with it and you're like, I'm getting a membership. I want to come back tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Like, we hope that happens, right? But it's so easy to dip your foot in because, like I said, especially during the spring, summertime, every park that has a pickleball court, I guarantee you there's going to be someone up there at some point in the morning, afternoon, or evening that if you say, hey, can I jump in with you? They will more than likely say, yep, let's do it. And then you just got 2, 3, 4 more people into the pickleball community.
That was Emerson Lehman, pickleball enthusiast. For New Wisco Weekend Sports, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Merriam-Webster defines friendship as the state of being friends. So, okay, then what's a friend? They say it's one attached to another by affection or esteem, and a favored companion. Other sources say friends are more than acquaintances. They offer emotional support, respect, and trust. And as an adult, well, they're hard to find. New Wisco Weekend's Amanda Nimmer explores why kids make friends easier than adults.
So this is something that has boggled me my entire adult life. And I think I'm not alone in this. I truly think that there are many of you out there who have the exact same issue as myself, especially anyone who's ever been around children. Your own children, niece, nephews, your friends' random kids, whatever it may be. But you'll watch them do this and you'll wonder, why can't I do this? How in the world do kids make friends so fast? It's something that truly boggles the mind because as an adult, for some reason, trying to make friends is the hardest thing to do. And I don't know if it's because, you know, everyone in my age group, you know, millennials. Picture a rainbow over the word when I said it because I did the arm motion. But, you know, we have a crap ton of anxiety, existential dread. But regardless of that, we're not the only generation who has that problem. There's tons of people with anxiety issues out there, tons of people with PTSD. And yet, is that the reason we can't make friends? Here's the thing. My child will go anywhere and will point at another child. He will not even make contact with this thing yet. Not thing, person. I'm worked up. Go with it, okay? He will not have made contact. He will just have simply seen with his eyesight that there is a child over there. And he will point and say, "That's my best friend." And then he will go over there and play with said child. No problem whatsoever. Imagine doing that as an adult. Imagine walking in to some kind of store or park or anywhere and just pointing from a distance and going, "That's my best friend now." And then approaching them after that. Is it confidence? I don't know if kids really have confidence. Is it lack of situational awareness? Is it because we've seen too many movies or TV shows or read too many books or seen too many different scenarios of things that could possibly go wrong and then they fill your head and then you're like, "I don't know if I can do this." But the children are innocent and they don't know. Is it a lack of judgment? Oh my God, is it because we're judgy? Probably. Probably on that last one. So I decided to ask Google, why is it so easy for children to make friends, but the second you're in, you're in adulthood, and I'm talking like past college age, okay? Because in college, you still got a chance. But like mid-20s and up, it's like virtually, physically, universally impossible to make friends. So easy to make acquaintances, but a friend who's gonna come over and bust down your door when you're having a sad day and say, "Get in the car, we're gonna go get ice cream." But instead, at least in my adult life, I experienced trying really hard to make these friendships, and then for some reason they just fizzle. They're just gone. Is it because we're too busy? Google, what do you have to say about this? Google suggests that it's the proximity, because they are around kids more often. They're around these people more often in order to make friendships. I mean, I guess, yeah. But like the same thing can happen for work relationships. I mean, you have a great work friendship with someone, and then the second that they're not there, it fizzles. It's gone. And I'm talking like a strong work friendship where, you know, you have actual love for this person. No matter how hard you tried, it just fizzled. And you're left wondering, is it you? So maybe it's not that. Is it because children tend to be more open-minded and less judgmental? I don't know. I've had some pretty great friendships where we mutually disliked something, mutually had a similar hatred toward things. I feel like that's going on a lot right now in America. Google suggests children have fewer responsibilities than adults, leaving them with more time and energy to dedicate to building relationships. That's it. That's the one, okay? Because, yeah, responsibilities, blah, 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 that just comes with being an adult, but it's the energy, because I don't think I've seen anyone who actually has pep and energy in their step in such a long time. That's it. The solution to making friends is caffeine. I am not a doctor. Do not take this, literally, please. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Thank you, Amanda. When we return, a double feature from our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, and a little bit later on, our cover story on the community living room, combating isolation and loneliness in the Fox Valley. But first, did you know that researchers say they've found that there are only two times in our lives that we actually age faster than at any other time? You may be surprised to learn the study showed we have aging spurts in our mid-40s and then again in our 60s. And knowing these patterns may help all of us with diagnosis and prevention of diseases at all ages. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to New Wisco Weekend on your local civic media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. You can also hear it at our website at civicmedia.us. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Every week, New Wisco Weekend's Pete Schwabba delves into a great classic movie for us. This week's pick showcases Wisconsinites at the top of their game. Here's Pete.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
After watching this week's classic pick, you will probably never want to fly again. Not for fear of crashing, but because no flight will ever seem as funny. This week's pick is one of the all-time funniest movies ever made. I'm talking about Airplane, which hit the big screen in 1980. The film is a masterful parody of disaster films with its rapid-fire jokes, deadpan delivery, and countless memorable lines and scenes. The film was the creation of comedy team and native Wisconsinites David Zucker, Jim Abrahams, and Jerry Zucker. Airplane follows Ted Stryker, played by Robert Hayes, a World War II pilot still battling his wartime demons. Stryker boards a flight in an effort to win back his flight attendant girlfriend, Elaine, played by Julie Haggerty. Bad food causes many passengers to get sick, including the pilots. Stryker is forced to try to land the plane and save the day in hilarious fashion. I always assumed the film was a parody of the movie Airport, but recently on Nightlight, David Zucker was my guest and told me that it was an almost shot-for-shot parody of the 1957 action film Zero Hour. The Zucker brothers and Abrahams also put an exclamation point after their title for Airplane, just like in Zero Hour. The main difference is that Airplane is absolutely hilarious, and according to more than one source, is the world champion when it comes to the most jokes per minute at an average of 3 every 60 seconds. I also asked Zucker about the cast, which is as random and outrageous as the film itself. In addition to Hayes and Haggerty, it's really the Doctor, played by Leslie Nielsen, who steals the show, delivering some of the film's funniest lines, which made the distinguished actor Leslie Nielsen a household name.
How soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
But can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
No. I mean, we can't land for another 2 hours. Fog has closed down everything this side of the mountains. We've got to get through to Chicago.
The film has an ensemble that includes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Peter Graves, Robert Stack, Lorna Patterson, Barbara Billingsley, and Lloyd Bridges. Paramount Studios suggested Dom DeLuise for the role that eventually went to Nielsen and Barry Manilow for the role that went to Robert Stack. Abdul-Jabbar plays one of the pilots, but that role was actually written for Pete Rose, who was unavailable thanks to baseball season, depriving moviegoers from seeing his famous bangs on the big screen. In my interview with Zucker, the director said that Peter Graves initially thought the script was trash, adding that Graves only read his lines where he asks a young boy if he's ever been to a Turkish prison or seen a grown man naked. Graves eventually saw the humor in the role. I mentioned earlier the filmmaking team of Zucker, Zucker, and Abrahams are native Wisconsinites, but more specifically, native Shorewoodians. If that's not a word, it should be. The trio met at Shorewood High School in the 1960s, then all attended UW-Madison, where they founded the Kentucky Fried Theater. After graduating, they took their talents and Kentucky Fried Theater Company to Los Angeles and continued creating their offbeat comedy, eventually teaming up with up-and-coming director John Landis to make Kentucky Fried Movie. The film was successful enough to give the trio another crack at the big time, and they delivered with Airplane. The film's success set Zucker, Abrahams, and Zucker on the fast track to fame with their own brand of comedy. They followed up their Airplane success with the Naked Gun franchise and the hilarious Top Secret. Each member of ZAZ, as they are often referred to, went on to have individual success as well. Jerry Zucker directed the film Ghost, David Zucker directed two of the Scary Movie films, and Jim Abrahams directed the hilarious Hot Shots. So sit back and check out the work of three of the not only funniest Wisconsinites ever, but the most talented filmmakers ever. Airplane is this week's classic pick. For more showbiz fun and entertainment talk, tune in to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look at a little something different right now. With all the wildfire smoke in recent years, has it ever crossed your mind to literally help fight the fires? Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us what it's like and how to get involved in wildland firefighting.
Not for all, but for some. Those adrenaline seekers seem to like the career, fighting wildfires. It all starts in an apprenticeship program through the USDA Forest Service, and it pays as you rack up 3,000 hours of on-the-job training. Now you'll be set up in a wildland fire academy, and the Forest Service covers all the training costs. And once you complete the program, you'll have a journey-level status as a wildland firefighter. And from there, you work to put out the fires, manage and control them from spreading. And this also means you'll be away from home for weeks at a time, long work hours, and outside. You might be flying in helicopters, hiking through mountains, or patrolling roads. And part of the job also requires being a little bit like me and talking to people about fire prevention. And dispatch is also a route to take, too. There's only a few basic requirements. One, you'll need a driver's license. Two, you'll need to pass a drug test. And three, they prefer people between the ages of 18 to 37. But if you're older, you can still apply. And with the climate changing and more fire sparking, there are nationwide opportunities too.
And now let's look ahead to winter. Forecasters are keeping an eye on what winter may look like in our state. And Brittany Merlot has more for us.
The Climate Prediction Center has issued a La Nina watch, which means that by fall, La Nina conditions start to become favored. Now, right now, we're in an end zone neutral phase, which is likely to stick around through late summer. However, already, the subocean has cooled in the region of interest, but these negative anomalies are not too strong. However, still a step in the direction for the development of a La Nina pattern. Now, while conditions are favorable, there is still a 4 in 10 chance that it will not happen. But if it does, it could result in increased Atlantic hurricane activity this fall. And during La Nina winters, the strongest signal typically happens in February and March, which means for Wisconsin, colder than normal conditions are favored and wetter, more snow. And running into early spring, there can also be enhanced chances for severe weather outbreaks. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story. It reveals the details of an important project meant to combat isolation and loneliness in New Wisco. And later, our musical guest is Horace Green. We'll be right back. This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Throughout New Wisco, there's been a movement called the Community Living Room. And today, I'm joined by Karen Iverson-Riggers and Lynn McLaughlin, the creators of this movement. What is the Community Living Room?
So the Community Living Room is a project or product of Ebb and Flow Connections Cooperative, which is a worker-owned co-op that's based in the Fox Valley. The Community Living Room is a non-clinical supportive space for people looking for connection, not always distress or crisis, but just connecting with people at a real, authentic level. And the doors are open to anyone. So there's no need for an appointment, no insurance, no diagnosis, no label, so to speak. It's open to all human beings that have a heartbeat and breathe.
So this is a project, basically, if I can put it into a nutshell, to combat isolation.
Yes, yes. Isolation and loneliness.
We recognize that our cooperative focuses on social connection and emotional health. And so Community Living Room actually partially came out of a training that we do called Emotional CPR, which is just like you take CPR for your physical heart. This is for supporting someone in emotional distress or crisis. And so we've trained more than 2,500 people in emotional CPR, and lots of folks asked, like, where can I find someone who's going to listen like this? And so that's part of where Community Living Room came from, was creating a listening space without judgment, without fixing, without plans, just being present with each other.
I really like that, because I know that loneliness and isolation is a huge, huge part of mental health problems that we have throughout the United States. So with the Community Living Room, you guys are offering just that space to be and to connect. Where is it? Is it a floating kind of thing, or is there a central location where people can just go and?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say too. Yes, it's all three of those.
Yes. It started primarily as pop-up living rooms in the Appleton area. We are now doing pop-ups in Winnebago County for different organizations and public-facing type of living rooms. And then in October of last year, we were gifted a brick-and-mortar permanent space in Appleton. So it's, and we do them virtually. So there's really all kinds of opportunity to just be seen and heard exactly as you are, whether it's, you know, you are experiencing life and it's hard, or you're lonely. We have a lot of people that come in. Sometimes they just like sit on the couch and read, and they just know they belong, and having that kind of impact. And it's for us too, you know, as the people that are listening, we call all of the people that are in the space listeners. Mm-hmm. It impacts all of us as well, because everyone needs connection.
We really do. Connecting is a human thing. We're pack animals, whether we want to admit it or not. Humans are pack animals, and we need that connection. So where is the brick and mortar community living room?
It is at 113 West Harris Street. It's part of the Rise Development Affordable Housing. So we have affordable housing apartments above us and townhomes across the street. It is such a peaceful space. I was in the space yesterday, and there were two people working on a crossword together, and there were people at the table, like, just shooting the breeze. Another table, they were playing Kings in the Corner. It's a card game. But then there was another person that really needed support in the moment based on something that happened that morning that was hard for them. So it's really, and then everybody interacts, and there's always snacks, which that's always a draw.
That's the standing room, the brick and mortar community living room. You have these pop-ups too. One happens at the Nina Library occasionally.
Yeah, we had one this past Monday and had a few people come in. We recognize that sometimes in summer, outside is better than inside. So the numbers, you know, dwindle a little bit during the summer, but there's also, we don't look at the quantity as much as the quality of the connections that are made and the ripple impact that has in people's lives. Because if they feel connected, they're more open to be connected to others, whether that's family or friends or coworkers. So it's this beautiful ripple that we're seeing in community.
The other thing I would add about community living room is, so many spaces where people go to seek support are transactional. And what I mean by that is you have to do this to get this service. And we wanted to break down that barrier. And so Lynn was talking about all the things that were happening in the living room. We don't require folks to engage in any particular or prescriptive way. So we have somebody who comes into the living room and he just sits on the couch and reads a book, to just be with people. And so we have, you know, activities that we do, but it's also okay if folks, you know, it could be kind of weird talking to somebody you don't know about something that's deep or intense. And so we open that space for folks to really engage in a way that's comfortable for them, because we get that question a lot. Like, what do you do here?
Right.
When folks like come in the door, come into a pop-up, and you know, we say we listen deeply, and we're here, and you don't have to engage in any way you don't want to. And so I think that's a powerful difference with this framework than what other people might experience in seeking help in community.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned transactional, and I know you were referring to each individual person either connecting with or talking with and that type of transaction. But is there a cost for the community living room?
No cost. It's a free space. We're generously funded by some community foundations and partners. And And the intention with this space was to try to break down all the barriers that people find to seeking support. And so cost is obviously one of them. So for our pop-ups, our virtual spaces, and our brick and mortar space, it's all free for folks to participate.
And how does somebody find out about the pop-ups? How does somebody, you know, maybe connect with you guys to ask questions about the community living room? Is it happening today? Where can I go? Where would they go to find these answers?
So the best place to go is our webpage because it has an updated calendar. So that's communitylivingroom.org. And that has, you know, pop-ups. It has the hours that our space is open as well. The other thing that I have noticed, we have more and more people coming, which is just this beautiful, like, word of mouth is the best way. People coming to, like, if you are a work-at-home person and you want connection, people that will bring their laptop into the living room just to know you belong and that you're with people. So it's just, it's this very diverse group of people. It's organic. Every living room is different. Sometimes it's, you know, we're supporting one person that's going through a lot. Sometimes it's playing a very competitive game of Yahtzee, which we have a log on our bulletin board of who is the winner. Sometimes, actually, yesterday we had a request to do reading out loud, like take a book and start reading it. So I was very touched by that because I know like how I feel when someone reads to me. So that's something we need to pick the right book. So we were talking to this person, what book would you like? But that feeling of home and connection. The refrigerator is open. People know this. You can come in. You can take whatever you need. And that's another piece of the transactional nature of life that is not present in the living room. If you come in, want a bottle of water, want to use the bathroom and leave, you can do that. It's whatever you need in the moment. People know the refrigerator's open. They know there are snacks on the table. They know that once a month we have birthday cake. And people know they can do that. Sometimes we have people come in and they'll wrap up in a blanket and just be. You know, it's just, there's so many examples, it's hard to name them all.
How long has the community living room been operating?
So we started this project with a planning grant from the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley region. We wanted to make sure that folks in community understood the framework of this project because it is different than other resources in community. So we spent the first year doing a lot of relationship building and really talking to folks like, is this something that's needed in community? And there was a resounding yes. And then we did about a year of pop-up spaces, some that were hosted kind of privately by organizations just for folks connected with the organization, some of them that were public facing. And then we are almost coming up on a year in our brick and mortar space, which we opened in October of last year.
Wow. So you guys have been doing this for a little bit and are seeing success with it, right?
We are.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, how are you seeing improvements in isolation? Are you seeing any improvements in loneliness in the people that come to the community living room?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a number of people that come every time we're open, and we consistently tell them this is not like ebb and flows living room. This is our living room, and people are buying into that concept. We have one person that said, you guys need a cribbage board, and we said, this is our living room if you would like that, and they brought a cribbage board in. We have a guitar that was donated, and we have people that come in to play guitar because playing at home is fun, but having an audience is cool, that do that. And just this, it feels very, very connected. Like we have one that comes in and makes sure the plants are watered. Because although Karen and I are very good at keeping people alive, we're not good at keeping plants alive.
Well, I'm glad you have somebody to share their green thumb then.
The other thing I would mention is we last year had a great partnership through the Medical College of Wisconsin with Dr. Sarah Kolbeck, who did research on community living room and then also did kind of a white paper on the project. And basically, like in summary, said like this project is phenomenal at reducing both emotional distress and social isolation and loneliness, both for the folks who are coming in, walking in, as well as the listeners. And so we always have two or three listeners in the space who are all paid. They have quite a bit of training. But this is impacting us too, mm-hmm. as listeners, that listeners are saying, like, I feel less alone. I don't feel isolated. I feel like I have connection. And we hear that loudly, both through the research that Dr. Kolbeck did and through what folks tell us. We have a survey, but folks like straight up tell us too, when they visit the living room, how it's impacted them and that they feel less alone and they feel like they have community.
Karen Iverson-Riggers and Lynn McLaughlin from Ebb and Flow and the Community Living Room, thank you so much for joining me. And before we close out, it's communitylivingroom.org, right?
Correct.
Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm your host, Lisa Hale. We've come to the part of the show that I look forward to every week. And this week, it's Horace Green. Now, that's not a person. It's an American indie rock band hailing from Wisconsin that were recent guests on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We've got Horace Green in the studio. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Pete.
Let's have you guys introduce yourselves, and you can tell us a little bit about you as individuals, and we'll learn about the band, and then you're going to rock us, right?
Yeah. I'm Tony. I play guitar and sing.
I'm Sam. I play bass and sing.
And I am Austin, and I play the drums.
Well, first of all, I have to ask you, where does the name Horace Green come from?
Yeah, so it's just an old man's name. Really, like, you know, you get like a dog or a cat, you name the dog, you get a band, you name the band. I don't know.
Just one of those names.
It happens to coincide with the movie School of Rock, which was not necessarily intentional, but it's more of a happy accident. Okay. I was really into like blues music back then, and that's kind of like where the inspiration came from.
That's interesting. So talk about that. What brought you guys together, and how long have you been playing?
Well, Austin actually joined the band in 2019.
Yes, late 2019 was my first show with these guys.
Perfect nice. Time to join a band.
Seemed like a good time at
late
the time.
Late 2019.
Let's just set those live shows aside for a while.
Yeah, right, which is pretty much what we did.
Yeah, I think it was like September you joined and then learned all the music, and we had like a full next year of shows, and then everything got canceled.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. So what did you do during that time? Did you go back to the drawing board with just writing a lot, or?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I did a lot of writing for the album we're going to be coming out with in May.
Okay.
And yeah, Cream was incepted during that time too.
Nice.
It was a COVID baby.
Yep.
And is that the song that's dropping tomorrow?
It is. Yep.
Could I twist your arm to play that?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so cool.
Cream is, there's a couple messages in Cream.
Sends a message.
Yeah. I like to let people make their own meaning for the song.
Okay.
You know, we put it out there and you can listen to it, and then whatever you feel, that's probably the right answer. Cream is the climax to the Summer of Cream, which was our summer tour this year. And we are releasing it on what is now the Cream Solstice.
Okay.
A new national holiday.
We're going to be celebrating every year.
I love it. All right, this is Horace Green in the studio here at Nightlight playing their new tune, Cream.
All right.
You want me to count it off?
Ready? Sure.
One, two, three, four. Cream.
heaven grabbing hoe. Move your body with your soul. How we dreaming over tones as we move across the floor. Ooh, tell me, does it groove? Yeah, pick you up and get you moving. Is that your brain giving into the groove? There's nothing you can do. That's so cream, the currency of ecstasy. Turning you to jealousy. Sister Sonic, fill the ocean. We can ride on this emotion during golden hour. The universe is ours. Ooh, tell me, does it groove? Yeah, pick you up and get you moving. Is that your brain giving into the groove? There's nothing you can do.
Being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at aging well, pickleball, and fighting isolation and loneliness. New Wisco Weekend is written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale, directed and produced by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Pete Schwabba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear us cover, email me at any time, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.